And finally, we bring you the Talk of the Nation Summer Movie Festival. Even before the interstate highway system, there was the all-American road movie.
I'll stop a car, and I won't use my thumb.
What are you going to do?
It's a system all my own.
A flash of thigh always worked for Claudette Colbert. On the big screen, the open road is home to outlaws nagging in-laws, and it must, let me emphasize, must have a killer soundtrack. What's your favorite road trip movie and why? Our number is 800-989-8255. That's 800-989-TALK. Email us talk at npr.org. As always, we're joined by Murray Horwitz, director and CEO of the American Film Institute Silver Theater and Cultural Center here in the Washington area. And he's with us here in Studio 3A. Murray, how you doing?
I'm doing great, and I've got a full tank today.
Are you ready to put the pedal to the metal? All right, let's get through all of these right now. We got lots of movies with driving scenes. How do you define a road movie?
Well, believe me, it is not the home video of when we took the kids to SeaWorld. Honest, that's not my favorite road movie. but the truth of the matter is, its definitions are good. Movies and cars and, not surprisingly, good paved roads started at roughly the same time in America, Neil. So, like, mm-hmm. movies and the road kind of grew up together. And it's part of an American literary tradition where the road is really a character. If you think of the water roads that mm-hmm. appear in Huckleberry Finn, where the river's a character, a book that I haven't read but I understand has something to recommend at Moby Dick, where the sea is quite something, the road kind of took on these characteristics. So it's a very broad category. There are reasons for that, but we're not talking about quest movies here. Mm-hmm. So that The Lord of the Rings and...
Well, let me ask another question, though. Does it count if there have to be cars? I mean, is Red River a road movie?
Well, that's a very good question. I would say no, because that's the road. And also, probably my favorite of favorites that really started the formula in many ways, as he did with many filmmaking innovations, is Buster Keaton's The General, which is a railroad movie. But a lot of the conventions are, you know, like having dinner inside while somebody's stealing your vehicle outside, the romance, all that. That shows up in The General. So I'm liberal enough to include other vehicles.
All right. So let's get some listeners involved in this conversation. Let's talk to Rachel. Rachel's with us from Anchorage in Alaska.
Hello.
Hello, Rachel.
How are you?
Very well, thanks.
Good. Well, I narrowed it down to two, but I think one might be considered a quest, so I'm not sure if it's going to count. But I narrowed it down to Powwow Highway and also Thelma and Louise.
Well, tell me a little bit about Powwow Highway, Rachel, because that's one that's new on me.
Okay. It's I think it was made in the 70s, and it's a Native American film about two gentlemen on the road, but it's almost a questy kind of thing where one of them, Gary Farmer, is one of the actors who...
I know finds, this. Yes. This
he finds his totems on the way. And
this is actually from the late 80s. This is
Late
this
80s,
is,
okay.
Right. He goes on this vision quest to find enlightenment, right? And meets this Indian activist. I think that there's the roads involved in that some way, but when you mention Thelma and Louise, you're really talking about one of the iconic road movies.
And I'm glad
it is a classic road movie.
And I'm glad you defined the other one as the quest movie. Because Thelma and Louise had a lot going for it, but let's not think of it as a quest movie.
They're not really on a quest.
You want to go to Mexico from Oklahoma, but you don't want to go from Texas? Thelma, you know how I feel about Texas. We're not going that way.
Yeah, I know, Louise, but we're running for our lives. I mean, can't you make an exception? I mean, look at this map. The only thing between Oklahoma and Mexico is Texas. Look.
And managed to work the railroad in there as well. Rachel, why do you like Thelma and Louise?
I think it's, first of all, I love the car, and I love the friendship, how the friendship develops and how they move through, you know, crisis mm-hmm. and how they're constantly problem solving and discovering new ways to get through, and it's just...
What powerful. They did to the ex-husband, that was problem solving.
That was problem solving. It's always creative problem solving.
Well, what you say about discovery, I think, is exactly right. I mean, so much of American art has to do with space, you know, with distance
yes.
and the wide, vast expanses. And so there are a lot of movies about, you know, sort of discovering America, Search for America movies, but also Search for Identity movies with independence and freedom and characters or a character against the system in some
yeah.
way.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. Rachel, thanks very much for the call.
Thanks so much.
I guess that independence and making a statement and identity, all of that could be summed up. We got an email here from Dustin Gray, who listens to WCPN and lives in Worcester, Ohio. And he says, without question, Easy Rider, Peter Fonda redefined cool. And even though it's my all-time favorite, the ending still breaks my heart every time.
What you represent to them is freedom.
What the hell's wrong with freedom, then? That's what it's all about.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's what it's all about, all right. But talking about it and being it, that's two different things. I mean, it's real hard to be free when you are bought and sold in the marketplace.
Well, that's the other icon that I had done. Easy Rider. And you mentioned the soundtracks, Neil.
Yes.
I mean, for some reason, music has a lot to do with it. I think of the South American co-production, Motorcycle Diaries. And, of course, this one, Easy Rider, which has the Steppenwolf and other rock and roll soundtrack. And also, there's a terrific road movie based on Woody Guthrie's autobiography, Bound for Glory, in which music is...
Amazingly, they managed to work some music in. Let's get Kirk on the line. Kirk is calling us from Beaverton in Oregon.
Hi there.
Hi, Kirk.
It's The Road Warrior with Mel Gibson.
Ooh, Mad Max. It's got cars. It's got road. It's got to be a road movie, Murray.
That's right. It really is. And what's interesting about it is there aren't a lot of road movies that are in the future and apocalyptic, but it's about, you know, a guy in his car in a certain way.
Yeah, it covers it, yeah.
And a lot of the action happens exactly on the road.
Yep. Absolutely, yeah, including one of the great chase scenes of all time.
Great chase scenes of all time. Anyway, Kirk, thanks very much for that.
Thank you.
And let's see if we can get now, this is Joe on the line. Joe's calling us from Dover, Tennessee.
Hi. Without doubt, it's Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
Oh, what makes you think of that one?
Oh, I mean, it's just, you have every mode of transportation possible, and, you know, everybody loves to laugh.
Mm-hmm.
And that movie will make you laugh, it'll make you cry. It gives you every emotion, every mode of transportation. It's the best road movie without a doubt.
And it turns out that even the sleeping scenes are pretty good. Let's listen.
Why are you holding my hand? Where's your other hand? Between two pillows. Those aren't pillows.
Ah! No! And it's amazing. That's just one of the many great scenes, Joe, in Trains, Planes, and Automobiles.
There's a hundred of them.
And Joe, I'm glad that you brought it up because there are Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. I think we're all a little fonder of than we are of something. Well, I've got this little subgenre that I call the puerile comedies genre. And,
well,
and
how could you come up with a title like that?
Even though some of them are great fun movies, but things like Harold and Kumar Go to White Castle, and I would say the Bing Crosby, Bob Hope, Dorothy Lamour road movies, Morocco, Singapore, Zanzibar, you name it,
mm-hmm.
And the National Lampoon vacation movies, mm-hmm. which fall into that category, and the road, as you point out, Joe, comes up with all kinds of opportunities for laughter.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. But there is one other movie I'd like to mention. It doesn't involve laughter, but it's a wonderful movie. It's from the late 90s, the lady Rachel, I believe her name was, that called a minute ago and was mentioning Native Americans. Another movie I'd like to mention is Smoke Signals.
Right, it's a Chris Eyre movie. It's from 1998, and it's right. These are Coeur d'Alene Indians, and they travel. We go from Idaho to Arizona, I think, to get one of their dead father, and it's again, it's a search for themselves too. They discover their identity along the way. It's a beautiful little bittersweet movie.
Oh, wonderful movie! It is. It really is.
Thanks for mentioning it.
Oh, thank you.
And thanks for the call, Joe. Again, if you'd like to join us, 800-989-8255. Email is talk@npr.org. And you mentioned in there the vacation movies, the National Lampoon vacation movies, of which I think still the first is the best.
Well, I was thinking about shooting over to 54 and zipping down to Liberal.
What for?
The House of Mud.
What's the House of Mud?
It's only the largest freestanding mud dwelling ever built, that's all.
Clark, let's just skip the House of Mud. I think Dodge said he was enough for one day.
It's living history, Ellen.
It's living history, Alan.
God, I think the reason I do feel the way I do about those movies is that they bear an incredible resemblance to my home videos of taking the kids to SeaWorld.
Yeah. Here's a couple of emails that we got. This from Pamela in Guthrie, Colorado. My 15-year-old daughter's favorite is Road to Morocco with Bing Crosby and Bob Hope because they're both part of and commenting on the movie, unlike some of the other Bing and Bob pairings. And it has a plot, she says, unlike some of the other Bing and Bob pairings. It has slapstick and verbal humor and a talking camel. And I do think Dorothy L'Amour does show up.
I think it's true.
Song.
And the music. I mean, there's some incredible
We're on the road to Morocco,
but all, off on the road. But also, But Beautiful, I think, was introduced in The Road to Rio. I mean, there's some really first-rate songs that come out of those movies.
Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think of the song. God, Johnny Mathis redid it later. It'll come to me. It'll come to me. But I think it's from that movie. Anyway,
really?
Here's another email. Two for the Road with Audrey Hepburn and Albert Finney. We could not find a copy of this. We tried.
It's one of your favorites, right?
Yes, indeed. One of my wife's and mine. First date. We've been married for 38 years. It has been a wonderful journey.
Yeah, it's and a really sophisticated. And the other thing about that is The Road, we think of The Road movie as a quintessentially American form, and it is almost like a Western. And you know, we see a European Western.
It's Moonlight Becomes You.
Oh, Moonlight Becomes You. It is. I don't know if it's from that one, but it's one of the road
it's
movies.
It's one of the road
Good
movies.
For you.
It goes with your hair.
I only remember Jonathan Winter's wonderful parody of a CPA singing Moonlight Becomes You.
That's certainly not the right thing to wear. Now I'm remembering all the lyrics. This is insane. Anyway, let's get another caller on the line. This is Peter. Peter's calling us from Kansas City.
Hi there. I just saw one of my favorite road movies last night, and that's Little Miss Sunshine. My wife and I did exactly the same thing, took the same trip, and took our daughter to the same pageant, and although she didn't win, she came out pretty well. The only difference is we didn't have a dysfunctional family and a broken-down microbus.
I was going to say, I hope you didn't do it in the same vehicle, that's all.
No, we didn't.
And it must have been tough on Grandpa.
The same trip.
Well, yeah, right, not the same superannuated heroin addict.
Well, let's listen to a clip from the currently available. Go out on a screen and watch it. Little Miss Sunshine.
Thank you. That was a great
one. You're a loser.
You're not a loser. Where'd you get the idea you're a loser?
Because Dad hates losers.
Whoa. Back up a minute. You know what a loser is? A real loser is somebody that's so afraid of not winning, they don't even try. Now, you're trying, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's really terrific. We've been showing it at the AFI Silver for weeks, and it looks like it's going to run for weeks more. And it brings up an important point. There was a highly honored film from a couple of years ago. It was at the Oscars last year, Sideways, which mm-hmm. is really a road movie.
It is a road movie.
And you know, there were a lot of road movies really proliferated in the 60s and 70s. You said even before the interstate system, but it was using the road for that kind of rebellion thing, but also it's the era when the interstate system is complete and really becomes a real factor in American life.
Mm-hmm. We're talking about the annual Summer Film Festival here at Talk of the Nation. Our guest is Murray Horowitz of the AFI's Silver Theater in the Washington area. If you'd like to continue this conversation online and read some of the emails that have come in, you can go to the Talk of the Nation page at npr.org. And this is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And let's see if we can get another caller on the line. And this is Bruce. Bruce with us from El Dorado in Kansas.
Hello there.
Hi.
Hey, I love your show.
Thank you.
I just caught a movie the other day flipping channels called The Long, Long Trailer with Lucille Ball and Desi Arnaz, and I laughed through that movie. It was hilarious.
The Long, Long Trailer. It somehow has escaped me. Murray, have you seen it?
No, and some of the, again, this is one of the, it's from 1954. I have not seen it. And it was actually when they were Lucy and Ricky, you know, when it was I Love Lucy. And it's a honeymoon that they take. And I think the comedy is probably just as much about the long trailer that they're mm-hmm. in. Am I right, Bruce, as it is about the road?
I think I've seen clips from this. They're trying to take it down a mountain road.
Yes, she was collecting rocks mm-hmm. and had so many rocks in the trailer they couldn't make it over the pass. They told her she had to get rid of the rocks, and she just hit them all over that trailer. There was rocks all over that trailer. I had to laugh. It was hilarious.
Thanks very much for the call, Bruce.
Sure.
Let's think about this, Murray. Who's going to get the Murray Award?
Well, I mean, I mentioned The General. You played a clip from maybe my favorite, which is It Happened One Night.
That's a great
Which
movie.
Is terrific. But there also, I think, in terms of drama, one that we haven't mentioned, and the king of all American roads is the Lincoln Highway, Route 66, mm-hmm. and The Grapes of Wrath, maybe the ruler of all road movies.
And that's a little hard to argue with.
I try to be preemptive here.
Well, there is. You mentioned, though, the problems of expressing that rebellion, and there's probably no more road movie that did that better than Marlon Brando in The Wild One.
A bunch gets together after all week, it builds up. The idea is to have a ball. Now, if you're going to stay cool, you got to wail. You've got to put something down. You've got to make some jive. Don't you know what I'm talking about?
Yes, we know what you're talking about, Marlon. We know what you're talking about. We always did. But there's so many others that are out there every year. And as we say, Little Miss Sunshine was out there even as we speak. And oddly enough, we had that clip recycled from last week when we didn't play it in Best and Worst Child Actors.
Right. And The Wild One is maybe a good example. There's also a genre that I like, since you're asking for my opinion, of a genre of road movies where nothing happens. So there are two movies I'm really fond of. One of them is a John Schlesinger film from about 1969, I think, called Honky Tonk Freeway, mm-hmm. where they're stuck and they can't go anywhere. And the other is one of my favorites of all time, which is a Laurel and Hardy two-reeler. It's a silent movie called Two Tars, where they are sailors on leave with two girls and a couple of bottles of hooch, and they just get into the mother of all traffic jams. It's hysterical.
I'll just go back to a favorite I've mentioned in another context, Preston Sturges' Sullivan's Travels.
Yes, indeed.
Murray Horowitz, director and COO of American Film Institute's Silver Theater and Cultural Center. We'd also like to give special thanks to Maria Isua and Laura Donnelly from AFI for their help today. Murray will be back with us next week, the last in our series this year. Email us now with your nominees for the movie you've seen more than any other movie you've ever seen. Got it? We'll see you next week. Murray, thanks very much.
Thank you, Neil.
I'm Neil Cohn, and this is Talk of the Nation from NPR News.